at 35. Thank you so much.
Yes, all the same price. $20, please. Have a nice day.
To go inside our cathedrals of capitalism, welcome back to Dominic Lamb, Chief Executive Officer of the National Retail Association. Dominic.
Hello.
Welcome. Hello. Christine Moody, founder of Brand Audits. Welcome back, Christine.
Hi, Steve.
And Catherine Michael, director of CM Inc. Communications and Marketing. Catherine, thanks for coming in.
Hi, Steve.
Chris, tell me why we're going to have unusual vending machines. Well, at major headquarters and outlets and the like.
Well, this has been a bit of a trend for a while. I don't know whether you've been walking past vending machines lately, but you've got the Coca-Cola.
They're everywhere. Yes. They're at the train station, they're at the ABC.
Yes, but they're also in a lot of the big corporates, so in their lunch areas or on their floors, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So in the healthy options state of mind that we're all in with the corporate world, they're changing.
So we're all in.
Yeah, we're all in.
We're all in a healthy state of mind.
Yes,
okay.
And companies like Bupa and NAB and those big corporates, they're changing over their vending machines to healthier options. So healthy snacks or snack boxes, and they're trialing them.
So NAB, you mean I have a vending machine that will deliver me an apple, an orange,
yes,
a banana?
Yes, it will. Although when you're really hungry, I'm not sure whether the chips and the apple. But so they're changing them over because it's the push towards a healthier option. People are working long hours. They're going to the vending machines. And it's all of corporate focus as well. They're doing health things.
So healthy. It's out with the sweet and in with the natural.
Yes, and it's been happening for a while because, as you know or may not know, PepsiCo, for example, is really concentrating on that healthier drink option. So they've got a new brand called Bubbly, which is basically water with natural sugarless flavouring.
Sugarless water.
Yes, sugarless
Pepsi.
Water in a can. In a can.
Isn't all water sugarless?
Yes, that's right, but it's got the flavour in it.
And, oh, okay.
And the other one is they're buying companies like Bear Snacks. So they're the sort of thing. So healthy options with fruit that can go into those vending machines. So they're just as easy to access as a packet of chips.
So those mega companies are usually good on picking up on consumer
very
trends.
Much.
So they're seeing that consumers are heading away
yes.
from sugary type snacks.
Yes. So they've got the R&D happening for the new mm-hmm. soft drink equivalents, and they're also buying startups in the health food sector as well.
Oh, really?
Mm.
This has been happening for about 12 months in New South Wales hospitals. Mm. In fact, they banned all soft drinks and sugary drinks, which has the nurses up in arms because, you know, obviously they work really late hours and things like that.
And so they need the sugar hit.
That's right. Yeah. Well, so I'm told. So they've had to
find
ways.
They must know that this is a good thing.
Oh, well, I think it's taken some time to get used to it.
You need more to cure 330-itis, mm-hmm. really.
Yes, you do.
And, I mean, schools were one of the first sort of tipping points of this, tuck shops, vending machines inside schools, transit sort of rail, you know, rail and all of that sort of thing. But it's seen, you know, corporate social responsibility taken to the nth degree is we won't be seen to be endorsing by having a Coke machine. We'll be seen to be offering healthy solutions or options. But people just exit and go and find a coffee shop and a double mocha and a sweet treat. So
with a shot of caramel.
With a shot of caramel.
And chocolate sprinkles on the top.
And you know, what is it doing? It's potentially, you know, getting people off-site. You know, it's even the coffee. A lot of companies and corporates used to provide sort of all free coffee, teas, whatever. A lot of corporates now have collapsed a lot of that.
But also, I guess if you're a brand, if you're in the corporate head office of Bupa or Medibank Private or whoever, and you've got your talking about the health of the community, et cetera, and giving different plans for your customers, you also want to have that message internally as well. Mm. So you want to be able to have a healthy option, I guess, internally as well.
If
so it's good
employee,
for the brand.
Just get it delivered.
Yeah. Well, NAB's working
as Sophie Monk keeps telling me when I see her on TV, where she says seductively, I am about to eat and, you know, insert
I love
food
those
name
ads.
Here.
I love those ads.
Very clever.
Why are they clever, Catherine?
They're clever because they have localised a national campaign very quickly.
Oh, okay.
So she will, if you see it in Brisbane,
yes.
she'll actually say the name of
a local suburban eatery
that okay. only people in Brisbane would probably pick up on.
Okay.
And the ones in Melbourne, the ones in Sydney are spliced differently. So they're clever and funny. And some of those.
Yeah, she's a bit mischievous, our Sophie,
yeah,
isn't she?
And some of those wouldn't usually be able to afford TV advertising. So that's one of the flip sides that they give a bit of glow and a bit of love to some providers that maybe wouldn't be normally on TV with a big personality.
So it's actually that for a food delivery service.
Yeah.
But the little local eatery gets the benefit.
Yeah, like King of Wings in wherever it is, somewhere in Carindale or something, you know.
They're always little companies. And they're ones you may not even know them. You go Paddington.
Little, but with a cult following.
Yes. So really? They're very clever.
Yeah. Yeah.
A cult following.
Yes.
So what are some of the places that have got a cult following in Brisbane now?
Fritz and Burger.
Okay.
Zippickle. There's a King
Sorry,
of...
What?
King of Wings.
King of Wings. Yeah. There's one called Zippickle, which is like burgers you can't jump over with all these amazing chili and things on them. My 19-year-old...
I am so out of the loop.
You need to get out
I don't
Steve.
Know any of these places.
Steve, we need to spend 24 hours with you and seriously get you on some apps, take you shopping, take you eating, take you drinking.
That's my idea of terror.
It's an idea of a great day out.
You may not return in the same shape as you took you, but you will return.
All right.
It's a mobile outside broadcast.
All right. Another outside. I can't resist making the application. You know, the ABC, you have to go through applications. You've got to put everything in writing. You know, why are you going to do this? So as we can eat food. What's the benefit for the listener?
Take it to the people.
This is ABC Radio Brisbane. My guests are Catherine Michael, Christine Moody and Dominic Lamb. They all work in different areas of retail and retail outlets and shopping and the like. Dominic, tell me about H&M. First of all, they're about to open another one when others are closing. So what are they about to do?
They're about to open their ninth Queensland store. So they've basically taken space. It's about 2,800 square metres and it's set over two levels and it's going to be located at Robina. It's in the same format as what you would have seen in Brisbane City. So, you know, you've got multiple levels. They cover multiple categories, men, women, kids, baby, and the retailer's home concept as well. And look, this is quite unusual because we know that other retailers are certainly shrinking in space and not taking large spaces. We know that middle category is struggling with Big W and Kmart and Target. And really, they're very much focused on apparel. So they must be doing something right. Certainly they came here with a brand that was really well known.
Sure, it's not just that they're a big international and they're not cashed up and they're just able to, you know, ride out a rough period.
No, definitely not. I mean, I think that we've seen the other big internationals shrink quite significantly, and a lot of them came here with just a good brand name and certainly a big following, and they just haven't survived as well. But H&M continues to grow, whereas, you know, we're certainly hearing murmurings from the other international brands that it's tougher than they expected when they got here. So they're doing something right.
Catherine Michael?
Topshop closed. Mm-hmm. So people see Australia often with those sort of, great big market, but we are a unique sort of set of circumstances in terms of where our populations are, how retail performs and where we sort of go to shop. But H&M seem to be doing a really lovely job. And when you go, it's always quite different. Whereas you go to sometimes, you know, the Targets or the different things, their ranges don't have the same turn. So you can go to H&M and it's a bit of homewares or a bit of, fashion or it's something. It's quite quick. And so you never feel like you're seeing the same stock.
So it's a surprise.
Yeah. And it sort of feels a bit department store-ish, but it's all under the one roof, so to speak.
And
so
I think Christine, you're in the right zone. So that area of the mall is the area to be in. And if you remember, Topshop was down the road and around the corner. I think that sort of that area of the mall, that area between Albert Street and Edward, I think is the trick as well.
So when they open in Robina, though, Robina is like the grand cathedral of shopping in southeast Queensland, isn't it? I mean, it's there's a whole lot of very expensive outlets there.
Yeah.
And it's ever growing. It's always busy.
But it's the right demographic. So I think that the following
is definitely
there. And so what's
the cashed up bogans, cubs?
Oh, no. I wouldn't say cashed up bogans. In fact, I think that you'll find that there's quite a lot of discretionary spend going on in that area of the Gold Coast. The other top tip around H&M is actually their kids' clothes. And I think you'll find that there's a lot of new parents in that space. one thing that H&M do particularly well is actually boys suiting. Boys suiting. You can't get suitwear for little boys anymore. It's quite hard. You have to look online.
Are you mad?
I'm serious. I'm 100% serious.
You want to put a young boy in a suit.
Well, I'm serious. So for events, weddings, if you've got a kid that just likes to dress up and wear bow ties or who wants to mimic dad who goes to work in a suit, it's hard. Whereas H&M actually have a fantastic range and it's really cost effective. So
if you're a parent who's put your boy in a suit, I want you to phone now. 1300 222 612 is the phone number.
But also you've got the tourist trade. I mean, Robina is a tourist destination. So I think it's perfect for that as well. Because we like to shop.
There is a bit
holidays.
Of a tourist thing happening
Yep, definitely.
Yeah, it competes with Pacific
Care. Give me the hard-edged, sceptical view of things.
Oh, is that what I'm known for here?
I respect your hard-edged, sceptical view of the world.
Thank you very much. Yet they're up against Pacific Fair, so they're really positioning in a slightly different way to what Pac Fair have done. And Pac Fair is the one that's got the fairly luxe and fairly Oasis type fit out, and you know, have attracted some international, you know, knock it out of the park brands. But Robina's,
and they've
not
wiped out much of the Broadbeach trade.
Yeah, well, that's not just Pac Fair. You know, there's multiple issues at factor around Broadbeach and Surfers Paradise trading conditions, but
like councils that blocked off roads and did road paving that took 18 months.
Yeah, and Com Games and a variety of other issues. But, you know, Robina is got a big stretch. People that live just over the border would be likely to go to Robina or even Pac Fair. So it's drawing from a pretty wide catchment and a good play for future development.
This is ABC Radio Brisbane. That was the voice of Catherine Michael from CM Inc. Communication and Marketing. Christine Moody is here, founder of Brand Audits, and Dominic Lamb is the chief executive of the National Retail Association. Steve Austin's my name. What's the name of that burger place you said that I can't jump over? What's the
Z-Pickle.
Z-Pickle. Z-Pickle. Okay. All right. Dominic Lamb, if I go into Z-Pickle and order Z-Drink, why is it that my drink may not come with a plastic straw anymore?
Well, look, I can't talk about that particular location and whether or not they're going to ban the straw, but it looks like we're seeing an international move to ban straws. So we talked about the McDonald's in the UK taking away straws. Now Starbucks is set to remove plastic straws from their stores by 2020. And what they're proposing...
They're putting boys in suits and we're taking away straws.
It.
What's the
straws
world coming
are out.
To?
That's it. So they're actually going to invest $10 million in biodegradable cold drink cups so that you don't require any type of straw or plastic anymore. And look, there seems to be some type of push from consumers, and that's certainly the expectation that continues to occur. But they're basically saying, you know, by 2020, no more straws.
And so how will I be slurping my Slurpee or my slushy?
Paper straws.
Out of no, paper straws are banned as well. So they have said no to paper straws.
Bamboo straws.
Same as McDonald's. Some of them you'll see around Brisbane, Steve, actually use metal straws that come with little brushes to clean them.
I don't like those.
But these guys are actually going to invest in designing a new lid that you can basically drink directly from.
So like your coffee sort of thing.
Like a sippy cup.
A sippy cup.
Yeah.
A sippy cup.
That's it.
For grown-up boys.
When you're wearing a suit.
Who wear suits. That's right.
This is the tipping point around just plastic in general and consumers. So Seattle, or one of the states in America, has actually banned straws. Scotland has banned single-use coffee cups. So it's the tip around plastic, consumer waste, you know, the war on waste, which the ABC is, you know, really behind.
But what else?
But some of these messages are not new. It's just we're seeing
it's really
now.
It's really biting.
We're seeing the consumer actually understand that they can actually do something practical, positive. It's where it hits them in the hip pocket, though, is where the rub really comes. So, I'm happy not to pay for that cup, but what do you mean it's 15 cents if I want a bag
or
something for this? They're not prepared to pay, but they do want a far greener environment.
This is ABC Radio Brisbane. R.M. Williams is heading into what Asian country, Christine Moody?
Well, it's walking into China. So they've had their revamp, so they've been bought by a company a few years ago now.
Isn't it sad that they're expanding when they're no longer Australian-owned?
Yeah, they do make them here, though. They make them in Adelaide still.
They
still make them in Adelaide.
They're Hallelujah.
Without that, they really don't have a story, to tell you the truth, because there are other boots that are similar on the market.
Okay.
But the whole idea of that Bushman, made in Australia, whatever, but the cost has gone up a lot more because they're more designerish now, and they've gone back to the basics. They do boots, belts, shirts, and other shoes. So they've taken out everything else that was distracting them, and they're going back to their product. They've also spent a lot of money revamping all their stores, their brand identity, the touch points, all in. When you go in store, it tells you how the boots are made. It's got several stages of the boot production to show you that boot might be, I don't know, that what they retail for, $500, $600, but this is what goes into them. So they're going on the back of the health brands that are going into China, and all Australian brands are really popular at the moment, so they're going to open stores over there.
How important is the story, inverted commas, with the brand?
It's very important. It's their point of difference. So only they can have the R.M. Williams story. But they've got to tell people what that story is, and it's got to be across everything they do. So
it's critical. It allows people who may never come to Australia because we're so far away to own a little chunk of our history and our heritage. And that R.M. Williams in London, and, you know, I remember seeing R.M. Williams in New York,
yes,
getting very excited, stumbling across the store. But for the brand, it's incredibly important to have that story. And it's like, you know, Chanel frames. It allows us to have a little entry point into the brand. I may never buy a Chanel handbag or a Chanel suit, but optometrists all around Australia have brands that give people a little entry point into the lure of that brand.
And I saw yesterday they're making baby shoes. So baby elastic-sided shoes. And I went, well, that could go with the suit. But, yeah, so they really are expanding their range, and I think the fit-out's incredible. I think the fit-out really suits
the
brand.
They're not cheap boots. They're a considerable investment in any sort of currency. But they do last the distance, and they do offer a sort of service if there is ever an issue. So that backup is there, which other companies wouldn't be providing.
And just a hot tip, if you go to Harbour Town and go to their outlet store,
yes,
you can get those boots at about half price.
Hot tip.
So, two for the price of one.
Look, if you're out to bargain hunt, I absolutely recommend it.
Harbour Town, just north of Robina and
Thank you very much. Catherine Michael, Director of CM Inc. Communications, thank you. Christine Moody, Founder of Brand Audits, thank you. Dominic Lamb, Chief Executive of the National Retail Association, thank you.
Thanks,
thank
Steve.
You.